Well, the book is 1954, and as I say, I just spoke to my idol, Bill Madden, about it. It's a great read. Let's go down to L.A. and bring in our dear friend at CSN Bags with two Gs, Andy Baggerly. I thought you were my idol, but Bill Madden knocked you off.
Mark, can you hear how windy it is in the background here? It is gusting here at Dodger Stadium.
Wow, that is...
into the ballpark. I was at the top of the park, and I'm walking down the stairs, and I'm telling you, it is as windy as I've ever seen it here. So we'll see if that's going to make this a launching pad today.
Really? Wow. How do you like this matchup today, Hudson and Kershaw?
Well, how could you not like it? If it goes nine, it might be over in less than 2 hours. I don't want to jinx anything there, but Hudson has been just incredibly efficient and fun to watch. He's been almost Greg Maddux out there so far, and it's not been a starter, too. It's, you know, getting to about a quarter of the season, and he's been just phenomenal. And Kershaw, of course, well, we know what he looks like and what kind of fits he always gives the Giants. And I'm really going to be interested to see how Brandon Crawford faces him, because he's been crushing every lefty he's seen this year. And, normally he'd get a day off on a day like today, but obviously that's not going to be the case.
Well, I'm going to give you the lineup as you're walking into Dodger Stadium, okay? You ready?
Sure.
Pagan, Pence, Posey, Sandoval, Hicks, Arias at first, Perez in left, Adrianza at short, and Hudson.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
How about that? Boy, you know, it's almost like, let's take a day off. Sanchez, you know, you think you're Gregor Blanco. Morris, we don't want to throw you out there with, without giving you a little more warning. Crawford, you've been great, but we don't want to do this to you. You know, Crawford, I think, was like 1-for-14 off Kershaw. So I guess this is one of those Sundays where Bruce Bochy says, go out and hit a few home runs. Let's see if we can beat them.
Well, it's maybe a Suicide Squad lineup, you figure, well, your odds are against you going against Kershaw anyway, so you might as well rest some guys. And if you pull out a win, well, you don't expect to beat Clayton Kershaw regardless. Maybe that's not the way you're supposed to think, but, at the end of a long trip, it's a 10-game trip. Easy for me to forget how long the trip has been, because I've only covered these last four games of it, but... it's a long season, and they're playing 19 without a day off. So, and Gregor Blanco, as bad as he's been, they got to involve him, because you can't play Angel Pagan every day. You can't play Michael Morse every day. You're going to wear those guys out. So, I think Bruce Bochy's cognizant of that.
Andy, what do you think of the moves yesterday? Of course, Kane and Belt, and then Colvin is up. What do you feel? Contos went back. What do you think about the moves yesterday?
Well, I think that they basically had this on which way they were going to go at first base. And, they decided that they probably have – it makes a little more sense to go with Morris at first base, because for a couple reasons. If they do go back to 13 pitchers, then they, maybe can do that a little easier when they don't have to take a guy out after six innings every time like they do for Morris. If he's playing first base, he can play every day. Not only that, he's your cleanup hitter. So that's been kind of an issue for them. They keep taking a cleanup hitter out early for defense. Then you're stuck with a pitcher hitting fourth, and that's not good, especially in a tie game. So for a few reasons, I think it makes a little bit of sense. But again, it's all, it's all subject to change from one day to the next.
Yeah, so. Does Colvin become essentially the everyday left fielder? I mean, I assume Perez, I can't guarantee it, but I would think – he goes back on Tuesday when Huff comes back, then there's only Blanco and Colvin.
That's my assumption, too. I think that they're going to give Colvin a look. They're going to give him a shot. But they do know that they need to incorporate Blanco at some point, and it's basically going to be who's swinging the best. And the thing about Colvin is he's hitting right-handers pretty well. Down in Fresno, he's hitting almost 300 against him. And what you could end up seeing, what I think makes a little bit of sense, is have Colvin out there against right-handers, and then against lefties, put Morse back in left field, and then you've got either Posey at first base or behind the plate, and Hector Sanchez in the lineup, and then you've got another right-handed bat against lefty pitchers. So, that's what works against Blanco, is the fact that, he's really sort of played himself out of some at-bats maybe, and now he's got another left-handed hitter kind of, would get those same starts. So, it's going to be against him to the pressure's going to be on him, definitely. When he gets an opportunity, he's got to produce it.
How do you like Hector Sanchez? And I thought you did a great job, of course, always on the blog after the game. They asked him how he felt, and he says, "I feel great. I'm Gregor Blanco," which was one of the great lines of the year, really. But where does he fit into this whole thing? Just project a little bit. The guy is like a magnet for foul balls off his head. He catches the toughest pitchers. He's always all over the place. Gets some big hits. He doesn't hit for a big average, but, boy, the hits come at the right time. Where is Hector Sanchez at? Where is he going?
Well, I think when you're the backup catcher to Buster Posey, you're probably going to wear it. You know, you're probably going to catch the toughest pitchers, the guys who beat you up. You know, they definitely don't want to beat up Buster back there. And so Hector's almost like his stunt double a little bit, you know, taking the shots, taking the big falls. And you hope the safety net works. So they like him. They know he can hit a fastball, both left-handed and right-handed. He can hit a big league fastball. That's just not a skill you can teach. That's something you either have or you don't. And there aren't as many guys as you think who can do that, who can catch. So the fact he's a switch hitter helps him as well. He's getting better defensively. I think you still see lapses from time to time, but he's in a lot better condition this year, which makes a big difference. And, you know, it remains to be seen. I think long-term, do they see him as maybe an everyday guy where they could actually move Buster off the position? I'm not sure. You know, one other thing that could be a factor is just how Andrew Susak develops because, you know, his bat certainly looks like it can play in the big leagues at some point. And if he can, you know, shore up his receiving skills and his game calling skills to the point where he looks like he could be a frontline everyday catcher, then they have some pivot points. And that goes not just for what they do at the position, but also for what they could maybe do at the trade deadline.
All right, great. Boy, always good to talk to Andy Baggerly at CSN Bags, as I say, with two G's. Andy, one last thought for you. I know you're getting to work right now. You wrote a story after the game about Pablo Sandoval. Not only is the pressure on him just to get a couple of hits, it's ratcheted up a little bit.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the three and the five spots have been problems for this team all year. And they sort of finally solved the three spot by just moving Buster up to third from cleanup, which a lot of people felt they should have done anyway. He's your best hitter. You got to get him in that bat in the first inning. You know, they had Belt and Pablo hitting three and five. And, you know, Belt got those homers early, but then he was scuffling, and they don't know what to do with Pablo. So, you know, the fact that Belt is out now, he's a middle-of-the-order hitter. They absolutely need Pablo. It's not a matter of, oh, it sure would be nice if he comes around. Now it's a point where they have to have some production out of him. Absolutely. Because, you know, they're off to a great start. They're in a great position. They're the best record in the NL West. But they were five games over 500 when they lost Angel Pagan last year, and they just absolutely cratered. And, you know, Bruce Bochy said to me yesterday, he said, you know, we weathered Melky because other guys stepped up. We didn't weather Pagan because guys didn't step up. So, you know, which way is this team going to go? Well, I think Paul's going to have a big say in that. And he knows it, you know, and maybe that's the best thing because he's never had a problem with baseball pressure. I mean, the guy hit three home runs in game one of the World Series. So he's never had a problem with that. It's all this pressure of the contract that's sort of external, and I think maybe he's had problems dealing with. So if it becomes about baseball for him again, which it should be, then actually it might be a good thing.
You're very close to the scene, and other than the times you're on TV, you're with the ball club every day. Do you think the issue with Sandoval and chasing pitches over his head and the way he's played this year, do you think it's contract-related?
I think that contributes to it, sure. I also think that he's putting a lot more thought into his approach. You know, he had Miguel Cabrera in his ear all offseason to help him with his right-handed swing. And I think Miggy basically told him, hey, look, take more first pitches, try to work more counts. And he tried doing that. And then what happened? He just got into two strike counts, and he's 2-for-60 hitting with two strikes.
Wow.
So, with about 30 strikeouts. And that's just not Pablo. I mean, now he's swinging at the first pitch more often, but he's still not turning around. That's because his mechanics are off. He's not getting his front foot down. You know, we had Randy Wynn in studio last week, you know, really a switch hitter in his career, breaking down Pablo's swing. And he said, look, this is simple. He's not getting his front foot down. His head's moving too much, and he's just not ready to hit. And Bochy even told him during the game yesterday, he said, you know what, don't be afraid to crank it up early. Start your swing early. And be ready to gear it up to hit that fastball. And if you swing through it, who cares? You got two more pitches. So,
yeah.
We'll see. He basically, the whole message is let it go. Let go of your numbers to this point. Let go of the contract. Let go of everything else. And let go of your swing. You know, really just get out there and get after it and have fun again.
Wow.
We've seen Pablo when he's bouncing around having fun. And, you know, he loves playing the game. He's never going to want to not play. And once he can sort of get a little bit of that joy back, I think that'll lead to a lot of good things.
Well, we'll see what happens today. Kershaw and Hudson. Andy, thank you so much. And always,
sure, buddy.
Yeah, always love having you on. And we'll see you tomorrow when you come back home.
Thanks for giving me the lineup. I appreciate it.
Yeah, very good. Look, when I saw it, I said, well, this is, we used to call it in Gainesville, drop singles. when they played handball. They used to say, all right, you go against the number one guy, but you'll never beat him. But, hey, crazy things happen, you know, with this lineup. You hit a couple of home runs. Hicks did it down in, remember, in Arizona. Hicks had, got Kershaw for a good one.
As I recall, they beat Kershaw once 2-1 with Brett Pill hitting a two-run homer. That's so you're correct. Right. Anything can happen.
That's all right. Hey, have a good day. Okay. I look forward to following you on Twitter. All right. That is Andy Baggerly. 808 KMBR is the number.